Piper's Jim Bass addresses fears of local leaders in Vero. Airlines may defer and cancel more deliveries this year. And passengers from Flight 1549 receive checks from U.S. Airways. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, January 22, 2009. Piper Aircraft CEO Jim Bass has confirmed what was widely reported last month, that 150 workers were laid off at the end of 2008. In addressing officials in Indian River County on Tuesday, Bass acknowledged that number, which had not previously been disclosed, and said more trimming may be necessary in 2009. The Treasure Coast Palm reports Piper was called on by officials to provide details on the story. Bass added that the company intends to pursue further installments of its $32 million incentive package put together by the county and the state to keep the company in Vero Beach, but not until the economy stabilizes. Terms of the deal require the company to maintain certain minimum employment levels and actually increase them in the future, but the plan also included an option to delay receiving the funds in exchange for a commensurate increase in the term of the agreement. Bass estimated Piper has cut back production levels by roughly 40% compared to 2008, but added that except in cases of reduced work schedules, there have been no pay cuts, and in fact, production workers received, quote, two pay raises in 2008, unquote. Things may soon go from bad to worse for manufacturers of commercial airliners. A recent study by David Strauss, analyst with the investment firm UBS, suggests more carriers are likely to defer their scheduled deliveries this year than was thought just 3 months ago. The Seattle Times reports Strauss conducted a survey of major airlines in October, asking whether those carriers plan to defer orders for airliners in the next year, as the airlines look to slash capacity worldwide. Back then, only 8% of respondents said yes. In a follow-up survey last week, that number soared to nearly 33%. On a brighter note, Strauss noted the manufacturers currently enjoy a healthy backlog of orders, and that an equal percentage of survey respondents said they would move up their deliveries if earlier slots became available through the deferrals of others. If this deferral trend persists past 2009, though, the manufacturers could face some dark days. Another forecast from Bertrand Grabowski at Germany's DVB Bank projected Tuesday that at least 10% of airliner deliveries now on the books for 2009 will be canceled outright due to lack of available financing. Boeing has said it plans to finance purchases for some of its customers to avoid those cancellations. The forced landing of an A320 in the Hudson River last week has brought an intense focus on the CFM56-5B turbofan engines that were powering U.S. Airways Flight 1549. The National Transportation Safety Board's ongoing investigation has led to some interesting tangents. As ANN reported Tuesday, passengers who flew on the plane 2 days before the miracle on the Hudson reported a loud bang and a temporary loss of power in the plane's right engine on their flight. The NTSB has confirmed reports attributing that event to a compressor stall. Now, Newsday reports that 2 weeks before that incident, the FAA issued an airworthiness directive on that very engine regarding compressor stall incidents. Specifically, the AD calls for more stringent inspections of engines that have exceeded upper operating temperature range limits when the throttles are rolled back from takeoff power. So far, none of those issues have been officially tied to Flight 1549. NTSB said on Tuesday, quote, "We have not found any indications of anomalies or malfunctions with the aircraft from the time it left the gate at LaGuardia to the point at which the pilots reported a bird strike and a loss of engine power," unquote. Analysis of the right engine has found broken turbine blades and organic matter, supporting the bird strike theory. U.S. Airways announced on Tuesday it's going to send checks for $5,000 to each of the 150 passengers on board Flight 1549. According to USA Today, the money is to help tide those passengers over financially while the airline works to return personal effects that were on the airliner and which are being retained for at least 8 weeks as part of the NTSB investigation. The letter accompanying the checks reads in part, quote, "We anticipate that the delay the investigation causes may present an inconvenience and expense for you. We want to do our best to ensure that you do not incur personal expense or hardship while the investigation continues. To assist you with your immediate needs, we've enclosed a check for $5,000, unquote. It's important to note that the checks will not shield U.S. Airways from potential lawsuits, although they couldn't hurt in the PR department. Up next on ANN, Marcus Schrenker faces formal charges today. A lawsuit is filed over a California midair, and the U.S. military gives the Bushes a send-off. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 22nd. I'm Paul Plack. With Flight 1549 and then the inauguration monopolizing the news, you may have been asking, whatever happened with that Marcus Schrenker guy? Well, it's been less than 2 weeks since the 38-year-old embattled businessman parachuted from his aircraft over Alabama in an apparent botched attempt to fake his own death, and then was caught after reportedly slashing his wrists for real at a KOA. Well, here's the update. On Tuesday, Schrenker was indicted by a federal grand jury for intentionally crashing his Piper PA-46 Meridian in Florida and for making a fake distress call. He's been held in jail pending an arraignment scheduled for today. We'll keep track of the story and keep you posted. The economic downturn does not appear to be hurting the litigation industry at all. The mid-air collision of two single-engine Cessnas over Corona, California on January 20th of last year resulted in the deaths of all four people in the two planes and one victim on the ground. The Orange County Register reports a lawsuit has now been filed by the former wife of one of the victims, targeting not only the estates of both dead pilots, but even the parties who rented both aircraft to those pilots. The National Transportation Safety Board has issued only a preliminary factual report so far. In it, the board says a Cessna 172 and a Cessna 150 were both approaching runway 25 at the uncontrolled Corona Municipal Airport just after 3:30 p.m. local time. The location of the collision was consistent with the Cessnas entering the left pattern, while the 150 was established on the downwind. Based on reports from dozens of witnesses, it sounds as if neither pilot took evasive action, suggesting they never even saw each other converging. Two private pilots were killed in the 150. A pilot and a passenger died in the 172. An employee of Corona Chevrolet was sitting at his desk at the dealership when the 150's cockpit, firewall, and engine crashed through the roof, injuring him fatally. The passenger in the 172 was 55-year-old Scott Lawrence of Cerritos, California. The suit was filed in Los Angeles County Superior Court on Friday by his former wife, Sarah Lawrence, his son Bradford, and his daughter, Brianna Moeller. Named in the suit are the estates of both pilots, along with William Renke, a CFI who rented out the 172, and Mike Brannigan, general manager of the Corona Flight Academy, which owns the 150. There was no immediate report on the compensation being sought. The NTSB's probable cause report, which is expected to be released soon, will not be admissible as evidence if the suit goes to trial. An attempt to set a new soaring altitude record ended in tragedy last week. David Bigelow, who attempted to reach 40,000 feet in his DG-400 sailplane on Friday, was killed when his glider broke apart in midair. The Honolulu Advertiser reports that Bigelow, who was a retired Aloha Airlines pilot, had been preparing for months. The 69-year-old had already established state soaring records and reached over 33,600 feet on flights last year. Family members say he meticulously studied air current charts, trying to determine where he could find the strongest thermals. His son, Dan, says Bigelow took off Friday morning from Waimea Kohala Airport. What happened next is not clear. Bigelow's family believes the pilot may have suffered oxygen deprivation at altitude due to an equipment failure after riding a big wave up as high as flight level 400. The son comments, quote, "If he did black out, I can't think of a better way. It's like he got to 40,000 feet and God said, 'You're close enough, so I'll take you from here,'" unquote. Bigelow's glider descended, apparently out of control, and broke apart over Mauna Loa. National Park Service rangers found Bigelow's remains Sunday morning. Wreckage from the glider was spread out over a 10-mile swath. David Bigelow reportedly discovered his love of soaring in between his Air Force service in Vietnam and a subsequent airline career. Son Dan offered, quote, "It's more of an artful type of flying. Once you're released, you have to find your lift. There's no fuel, no engine, no noise." He loved it, unquote. While the media was occupied almost exclusively on Tuesday with incoming President Barack Obama, there was a noteworthy ceremony for outgoing President George W. Bush. A Joint Service Honor Guard, military band, and about 4,000 cheering, flag-waving fans waited patiently in the 316th Airlift Wing's Hangar 6 at Andrews Air Force Base, watching the inauguration on a big screen. Then, the former president and first lady boarded a Marine Corps VH-60 helicopter called Executive One for the hop to Andrews and to the waiting crowd. The rousing sounds of the Air Force One movie theme rang out and a cheer went up as the former president and VP made their dramatic entrance into the hangar. Bush told the crowd his experiences with the people of the U.S. Armed Forces were a highlight of his 2 terms in the White House. He said he'll leave the presidency with his head held high, confident that he took the right course in difficult times. He said historians will note, quote, "We did not shirk our duty. We did not shy away. We served with conviction," unquote. Cheney praised Bush for taking on the big jobs that needed doing after the September 11th attacks. Quote, "George W. Bush protected America. History remembers such leaders and marks them well," unquote. Time will tell. Still ahead, Bombardier says it's feeling the effects of delays by the big guys. Passengers are suddenly paying attention during safety briefings. And the Science Channel visits Lycoming for an episode of How It's Made. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin WAAS GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, January 22nd. I'm Paul Plagg. Officials at Bombardier are looking to wedge their way into the market for airliners of 110 to 130 seats and have a promising development program started for their C-Series jet. But company execs say they're finding it difficult to have their projected 2013 start of delivery taken seriously by the airlines after widely publicized delays in new projects at Boeing and Airbus. Boeing has announced 4 delays totaling over 2 years for its composite 787 Dreamliner. Airbus not only started delivering its A380 Super Jumbo more than 2 years late, but has admitted production rates will not reach original projections. Bloomberg reports Benjamin Boehm, Bombardier's VP for commercial aircraft programs, told attendees at a conference in Dublin this week, quote, "That unfortunately destroys airlines' faith in seeing new products. The question is, how do we restore market faith in new aircraft development programs?" unquote. Bombardier said last summer it had a letter of interest from Lufthansa for the purchase of 30 planes and another 30 options. But Lufthansa spokesman Peter Schenkleitner has since gone on record saying, quote, "There is no deadline and no firm orders," unquote. One thing's for sure, the Thiel Group, a prominent consulting firm, isn't helping Bombardier build confidence. The company now considers the Bombardier C-Series such a long shot, it's taken the plane completely off its annual 10-year forecast for 2009. Thiel Group analyst Richard Aboulafia puts it bluntly, quote, "Technological risk, weak airline traffic, and low fuel prices all work against new aircraft programs. Those are 3 great reasons not to be in a new jetliner program today. We just don't see it happening," unquote. Ouch. A funny thing is happening after the water landing of U.S. Airways Flight 1549. It appears more airline travelers say they're paying better attention to flight attendants during the pre-takeoff safety presentation. TripAdvisor, an online travel network, surveyed 2,100 respondents over this past weekend. 61% of them said they frequently pay attention to the in-flight safety presentation. 50% of travelers surveyed said they have read the seatback instruction card in the past, but following last week's miracle on the Hudson, 62% are more likely to read it in the future. 73% said they always check the locations of the exits on the plane. 20% said they often do. 12% of travelers avoid booking in the emergency exit row because they don't want that responsibility. By the way, TripAdvisor also asked respondents what they felt would be the best ways to recognize the crew of Flight 1549. The top two suggestions, monetary compensation and medals of honor. Lycoming Engines announced on Wednesday it'll be featured on the popular show How It's Made in an upcoming segment on piston aircraft engines. Nearly 55 million households could potentially see the Science Channel segment that airs tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Robert Morselli, research director for the production company, commented, quote, "When we look for firms to feature on the show, we're looking for someone who will show us a full process, and Lycoming agreed to those terms. Lycoming's lean manufacturing process helped the filming of the segment go quite smoothly, with no hurdles," unquote. Ian Walsh, Lycoming's senior VP and general manager, said the company's transformation since 2005 allowed Lycoming to showcase its facility and approve the documentary's filming. Walsh added that show producer Francois Senecal Tremblay said that the crew, quote, "has filmed more than 600 segments and singled out Lycoming's workforce as one of those with the highest sense of pride in their work that he has seen," unquote. And finally, authorities in England say 15 members of a South African Airways airline crew have posted bail to be released from jail after their plane landed at London Heathrow with luggage which contained 110 pounds of marijuana and almost 9 pounds of cocaine. Police wouldn't say how they traced ownership of those bags to the crew, but said the street value of the drugs in London would have been about €310,000, or about $428,000 U.S. CNN reports that 10 women and 5 men arrested include 3 pilots. The flight arrived from Johannesburg, South Africa, and the drugs were found by customs agents at Heathrow. The investigation continues, and so far, no formal charges have been filed. The airline says it has started its own investigation, aided by the South African Police Service. Robin Chalmers, a spokeswoman for the carrier, insisted, quote, "SAA has a zero-tolerance approach toward the use of the airline services for any criminal activity," unquote. Well, I guess this makes showing up at the gate with a little alcohol on your breath look like relatively small potatoes. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we'll hear about bird strikes and their prevention from my guest, Steve Osmick, the full-time biologist on the staff at Seattle-Tacoma International Airport in Washington State. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.